I'm gonna drink your blood like cranberry sauce, meanie.
Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday, a weekly podcast where we're breaking down all our favorite slashers, thrillers, monster movies, and black comedies on the new scariest day of the week. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Height.
And I'm Chelsea Duff.
And this week we have a holiday special for you. As you know, it's Thanksgiving in just 2 days' time. Are you excited? You're probably stressed because of coronavirus, but let me tell you about a movie that's going to just soothe all those worries. It's a beautiful film. It came out in 2009. It's called Thanksgiving. And it's probably my new favorite Thanksgiving movie. Definitely.
Can I show it to the family?
Oh, yeah. I think that my dad would really enjoy the fact that it opens up zoomed in on a nipple. I think that that's really going to get him ready for the holiday right off the bat.
This movie is absolutely delicious. Where do we even begin?
I guess like sort of the concept, maybe.
I don't know. I think we have to start with that titty, because it really sets the tone for exactly what to expect for the rest of the movie, which is just don't expect anything to make sense or have any plot reasoning. Just titties out for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Tits out for the turkey, baby.
Hey!
It follows like all of my favorite is in scare quotes, tropes of the bad scary movie, where it's just like, whatever happens, the monster will rip off the hot girl's clothes. Like, they're like, every scary thing that happens leads to more nudity. Like, and you know, that's a wonderful trope for horror. Love that. It's great.
Actually, though, everybody pretty much keeps their clothes on the rest of the movie. The tits out are a special occasion. And we don't know if the turkey got those tits out or if those tits out were for the turkey or if it's just for us. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, we don't know a lot about pilgrim times, so
that's true. Maybe that's
this might have been the custom.
Historically accurate.
I feel like pilgrims, you know, weren't just like tits out always. Like, weren't they religious?
I don't know. I read the scarecrow letter, and everybody had their tits out.
Okay, there's that.
That is an interpretation of it for sure.
The A in the scarlet letter was a nipple ring, so.
So, okay, read the scarlet letter you did.
At the beginning of this movie, you're zoomed in on an areola, and then slowly we zoom out and you see a lady, a busty lady in pilgrim clothes. You can barely tell she's in pilgrim clothes though, because her whole top is off.
I think she had a hat. Was that a clue?
She had the pilgrim hat, and she's got like the pilgrim S, like, you know, the white collar on the black shirt, but it's just like barely on her shoulders. Very exciting. And she's horrified. Immediately, you know something is wrong. And she's running through the forest, and then you find out that she's being chased by an evil, bewitched turkey.
Yeah, honestly, I thought this was going to be a weird softcore porn. Mm-hmm. And
it kind of was,
right? Like, was it all wrong there? It was a lot more softcore porn than I was truly expecting for a turkey movie.
Mm-hmm. Although that lady in the very beginning, the busty pilgrim, as she might be named, naked pilgrim. Oh. That was a woman whose name is Wanda Lust. And I can only assume that she is an adult actress as her trade. And she does an incredible job. Also, Wanda Lust, that is probably one of the best names I've ever heard. Like, wow, 10 out of 10.
Is she a porn actress? No, I'm not sure, because I just pulled up her IMDb page. And just so you know, she does apparently return for the sequel.
Thank God.
So that's good to know. But
what if Wanda Lust is just her given name?
She's in two additional movies called Cock Smoking Grannies and Milkshakes. So
some Bustinette, some older women, younger men, 11, you know. There's a lot going on here.
Oh, God.
Mature anyway. Teen orgy number 7. But yeah, all right.
Love the 7th one. Usually the 7th in any series isn't good, but that one.
That one really stands out.
So yeah, we're starting out strong. It's a beautiful opening. Mm-hmm. And you start to find out that, you know, you think this is just going to be a stupid movie about an evil bewitched turkey killing people. But no, it's actually a Native American redemption story in its own very irreverent, not at all good way.
Yeah, I mean, like, was it a good Native American story? Respectful? No. But did they champion land recovery and land reparations? They sure did.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
The turkey literally says at one point, and this is not an exact quote, but he's like, I'm going to kill all the white people. And I was like, okay, fair.
We deserve it, honestly. Like, honestly, no cap on that one.
No, yeah. I'm going to say that it's deserved. But, okay, so the best part about this movie, yes, it is very bad. It's terrible. But it's a thrill ride. Very fun. And it all works because they went in on purpose to make it bad. They knew it was bad. They wanted it to be bad. They wrote it bad. The budget was like $3. And...
All $3 went to Wanderlust, presumably.
Yeah, I would assume that. And maybe a little bit of the CGI to make the turkey glow at one point, because the turkey does glow with radioactivity at one point. Spoiler alert.
Wow, Monica, jumping to the end of the movie.
I'm so sorry. Well, it's a little teaser. They'll get excited to know why. But okay, so let's get into the cast of characters here. Everyone is the worst actor I've ever seen. Besides Wanda.
I do want to know. It definitely seems like they were trying to do something campy and bad on purpose, and I think they succeeded. But I want to know, like, were the actors trying to be bad? Were they just not trying to be good? Like, I have so many questions. You know what I mean?
Right. Were the actors thinking, they're like, no, this is our best performance we can give.
There was something on IMDb that was like, the actress who played Kristen came recommended to the creators from something or other, and I was like, but what does that mean that she came recommended? Like, were they like, there's this girl in our drama class and she just like can't hack it, so you should use her in the film? Yeah. Or like,
yeah, this girl auditioned for my movie and it was the worst trash I've ever seen. You should hire her. Yeah, you know, she does bring a lot to the film though, so I'm really glad that she was there. Thank you, Lindsay Anderson, for your performance.
Thank you for your service.
Seriously. The best part of this movie is looking at the IMDb and seeing how, like, every like 90% of the actors involved have, like, no picture on their IMDb. So this is probably, like, the only thing that they did. But there's a few, like, the sheriff, Chuck Lamb is his real name. He's got a picture. Maybe he went on to be a sheriff one other time. He was fantastic. Oh. No. He was particularly bad, and I could see his mustache coming off throughout the film. Like, I could see where they put, like, too much spirit gum, and it was starting to lift. I could see the netting underneath.
Mm. Yeah, the mustache was particularly funny to me. It just was, like, worse than what you would get for a Halloween costume. Worse than what you probably bought Adam for his Halloween costume.
Oh yeah, no, the one that I have is way better. And it was like $5.
I don't know. I just, everything was charmingly bad and cheap about this movie, and I loved it. There was so much to love, so many wonderful little throwaway lines and moments. Arguably, and I don't know if I'm ready to get into this yet, but arguably a lot of homages to other classic, well done, Oscar acknowledged films.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Please elaborate.
All right, well, I'm not gonna list everything yet, But I did notice some clear allusions when their car breaks down and they're camping in the woods. That's House of Wax, baby. Oh, when the hermit is avenging his dog, that's John Wick, baby. Billy's whole look, that's Larry the Cable Guy, baby. When the stepmom shits in the coffee pot, that's the help, baby. Like, I could keep going.
Oh, my God.
What year did John Wick come out, though?
This movie predicted John Wick, all right?
Yes.
See?
This movie, yeah. They were like, oh, my God. Okay, wait, let's talk about the dog. The dog and the, what's his character's
Flashy
name?
Flashy is the dog. Does the hermit ever get a name, or do they
Oscar
just call him
the hermit? Oscar the hermit.
Oh, that's right. I wrote it yes. in my notes.
Oscar the hermit is played by an incredible actor whose name is General Bastard. That is his name. That is what he has billed as. And I did look up his IMDb, and there's nothing else listed under it. I was so disappointed. I was like, why are you called that? Like, I need more.
I think he's
more.
A musician, because one of his songs was, like, on the soundtrack.
Oh, my God. Is he, like, Riff Raff? He gives me mad Riff Raff vibes.
I don't know, but he's – you can look up General Bastard, and he's, like, on Twitter. He's on – YouTube, he's on Bandcamp, etc. You know, he's out there.
Oh, good. I'm definitely going to consume that media immediately after we record this. But yeah, so the John Wick aspect, you know, the turkey gets awoken from its 505-year sleep because Flashy, the poor unsuspecting puppy, is running through the forest and sees a Native American totem thing in the ground. This is one of the irreverent bad parts. And he pees on the totem, as dogs do. And
the dog doesn't know any better. It's not educated.
The dog doesn't know. The dog played by a dog named Jake, by the way. So Jake, the actor dog, and Flashy in the film, pees on this totem, and from the totem rises the head of this turkey. And what does he say? What is the beautiful quote?
He says, "I'm pissed."
He's getting a golden shower.
Yes. So there's like, it starts with a nipple, immediately cuts to a golden shower. Like, incredible.
Okay, I have a question about that scene, actually.
Yes, I would love to hear it.
We learn later on in the film, you know, as time passes, as the kids are driving home for Thanksgiving to have a wild, wet and wild Thanksgiving break, their car breaks down. They have to camp in the woods. And Darren, who is the prototype nerd of the group, tells them this scary Thanksgiving story about Crawburg, which is the area that they're in. He saw a broken down sign on the side of the road, and he was like, oh no, guys. And within the story of Crawburg, it says that the turkey will rise every 505 years, which is very specific and also very big amount of time. I'm surprised they didn't throw like one or two awakenings in the middle there, that we just like lost to the sands of time, you know what I mean? Because everybody who knew about the turkey was obviously, of course, murdered. But so if the turkey was like fated to reawaken on this day 505 years later, did the peeing on the totem actually do anything? Or was the peeing on the totem just like, how dare you, like, one more slight against this turkey and the Native Americans of this land?
I feel like he was gonna wake up that day, but then he was like, I was gonna do it on my own time, but now you pissed on my face, and so I'm extra pissed. I don't know.
And that is how the turkey killed Flashy.
I know, and he, like, doesn't he kill him with an axe? Like, what the hell does he come out of there with an axe? Like, it's very alarming. But this is a very, like, well-prepared demon turkey. And
it is a well-done turkey, if you say.
There are so many good Thanksgiving puns in this, and so I'm so glad we're continuing the tradition. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know. Who are some of your favorite characters of the film? Because there are only 10, probably, maybe less. So easy choices here.
I don't know. There's at least 13. 14, because the body count stands at 11, including Flashy the dog. And then there, spoilers. Oh my God, spoilers. If you haven't watched the whole film yet, you gotta go watch it immediately. It's on Prime. Right now, at least.
It's only 1 hour and 6 minutes long, so you can really do this one. And thank God it's not a minute longer, because I think that that was the exact sweet spot.
The 6 minutes is the opening scene for this movie.
Yeah, yeah, the credits are so long.
So
they're
long.
Beautiful, they're beautiful, though.
They're so done. And the opening song was like very was fun. It was fat, as I said, with a PH. Very beautiful artistry. I think that's most of the budget right there.
Yeah. Just absolutely a must watch. But that aside, body count of 11, and then we have our sole survivor, technically sort of, who's Kristen. And then also I think the hermit survives. Mm-hmm. And then there's the turkey himself. You know, so let's call it a healthy 15, a healthy cast of 15.
Good. There should
be there's more the stepmom. The stepmom who left the sheriff father and shit in his coffee pot.
You know what? That was a really strong moment of the film for me.
I wanted to see more of her, you know.
I loved that.
I was intrigued. I wanted to know more.
But I honestly...
Listen, the fact that she could shit in a small, small cup that is a coffee pot, talent. She has skills.
Seriously. And she's committed, which I really appreciate in a young woman. but I just want to know, like... I can only imagine the bullshit that dumbass sheriff pulled to make her get to the point where she shat in his coffee and then dumped him and walked out the door. But, like, she made the right decision, because this is a man who's so stupid that when a turkey comes to his door and is only wearing one of those, like, nose and glasses disguise things with the little eyebrows, he's like, this is Kristen's friend, who is a human who is just short. And I believe that, and I will have coffee with this with this turkey and not notice anything. Like, he's a fucking idiot, and I respect the stepmom for walking out the door.
You know, the turkey's costumes were very on point throughout the film, the turkey's disguises, and they were also very effective.
Oh my God, did this movie inspire Master of Disguise, or is that another one of the film homages?
No, it's Silence of the Lamb when the turkey wears the sheriff's face.
It's true. It's Master of Disguise, and then he wears the sheriff face, and then it's very silent.
When he has the little mask with the mustache, that's Master of Disguise.
Yes, yes. He's all over it. Oh my God. I just remembered a part that I had blocked out of my mind.
Do you guys
remember the part where the turkey, like, arises from the side of the road in broad daylight, and this dude pulls over? And he, like, picks up the turkey. Like, the turkey is, like, I don't know.
Hitchhiking.
Huh?
He's hitchhiking, and he's like, get on in.
He's like, get on in, but then he's like, all right, I'm going to pay you money to have sex with you right now. And that's
No.
What? That's what happens.
He says, ass, gas, or grass, because nobody rides for free.
Oh.
So you either have to give him ass, or you have to give him gas, which is money, or money for gas, or you have to give him grass, like drugs. So the turkey is the one that either implies, or the guy assumes ass, maybe. I don't remember exactly what gives him the impression that the turkey is gonna fuck him, but he does immediately unzip his pants. So it was clearly evident to him what the answer was. And he was ready to fuck that turkey.
He was really ready to fuck that turkey. And that was just something that I should have expected, but I wasn't prepared for. I was so overwhelmed in the moment that I completely couldn't apparently understand what was occurring. So thank you for clarifying.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have liked it better, I think, maybe if they had smoked weed together. That would have been fun. But instead, we got almost the turkey sex early in the film. But don't worry, the turkey turns around and makes the guy call his daughter on the phone with a shotgun to his head. He's like, call your daughter. And then kills him while he's on the phone with his daughter. So sick. Love it.
My question is where does the turkey keep all his weapons?
Under his plumage, Sydney. Did you not watch the rest of the film?
But how deep does this plumage go to hide a shotgun and an axe?
He has robust plumage, okay? And he is a mystical, magical turkey that has just risen from the dead. So I'm like, anything goes with him.
My question, I guess, is does he keep a stockpile of weapons under there? Or does he only ever seem to have one at each time? Because there are times when he doesn't have a weapon at all, it seems.
He's got a built-in weapon. It's his powerful beak.
Mm-hmm. But then it's like, okay, later on when Billy eats the turkey and then the turkey bursts out of his chest and shoots his way out, which is also an homage to, I believe it's Alien. Maybe it's Alien versus Predator. I don't know which one.
It's Alien.
Yeah, there we go. Alien 2 right there. He had the shotgun with him while he was getting eaten by Billy. You know what I mean? So like, clearly there's some storage space in there.
Yeah. He's a very talented man. He's a very talented man.
I don't know. Okay, I just want to say one more thing about the hitchhiking scene, which is I gotta respect someone who makes their sexual boundaries clear, you know? Because, like, the guy's ready to fuck the turkey. The turkey's like, no. The turkey does go on to fuck a human later in the film, but the turkey just, like, draws a hard line at anal. And I think knowing your limits is so important, and, like, consent is so important. And so for the turkey to upfront be like, hey, this is my boundary, buddy. Like, good for you. Although he doesn't respect Allie's boundaries later. So, like, he's not without flaw.
No, yeah. He knows what he wants, but he doesn't care about what anybody else wants. So
we must
know.
All advocate for ourselves.
This, you know, there's something to be learned from the turkey, whose name is just Turkey. There's a little fun fact. I was reading the trivia. I expected there to be no trivia. We all expect there to be no trivia, like no information about this online, but there was a beautiful amount of trivia online. And apparently they spent like a hella long time trying to come up with the name for the turkey, and they just came up with nothing. So they were just like, Turkey. But in the second film, because there is a sequel, Thanksgiving 3, they name it Turkey again, but with it's T-U-R-K-I-E. So they switch it up a little bit. Very fun. Good job, guys. I feel like there's a way to come up with a good evil turkey name, but, you know, simplicity at times is best because there's already a lot going on in this movie. Mm-hmm.
And I would say, like, coming up with creative names is clearly not the forte of this film. No. When the names are just like Johnny, Billy, Darren, Allie, Kristen. Like, those aren't bad names, but they're, like, basic names. Those are, like, entry-level names.
They're
not original.
No. And also, those are all interchangeable names to me. For half the movie, I thought that Johnny was Billy and Billy was Johnny. And I got really confused about who was trying to fuck who. And I was just really lost. And then Chelsea set me straight. So thank you again.
You know, we are all here to clear up each other's name misconceptions. You helped me and Sydney when we were talking about Scream. I will help you when we're talking about Thanksgiving. Like, we've got each other's back. And that's beautiful.
Wow, this is a real partnership here. It's beautiful.
Okay, just because we're in this portion of my notes right now, also, I have a question for you, which is that there's the scene after they camp in the woods. Darren tells them the scary turkey ghost story. Kristen has a small run-in with the scary turkey, but everybody survives until the morning, and nobody believes Kristen. But when Billy wakes up in his sleeping bag outside, Oscar the Hermit is standing over him with a shotgun, apparently keeping guard, because the turkey tried to come for him in the night. And the proof is that there's turkey poop on his sleeping bag. But when we were watching this together, Monica was like, that's not what turkey poop looks like. So I just, please tell me more, Monica.
Monica, are you a turkeyologist, which is a term in the film?
I'm a turkeyologist. I'm not a turkeyologist because, okay, here's my, this is my thought. This is my thought. Because I, like, love birds.
That's the most horrifying thing I've ever heard on this podcast.
I do love birds. I jokingly refer to myself as a birder all the time because I have this, wow, like, special ability where I notice small movements all the time. So if you're on a walk with me, I'll be like looking to the left, looking to the right all the time. And you're like, what's wrong with you? And it's because like I saw a lizard that's like 10 feet away. It's something that happens with me. So I notice birds a lot anyway. So in my experience, I've been shit on by a lot of birds and bird poop. My grandpa got shit on by like a hawk one time and it was like very alarming. But it's always like a liquidy sort of thing because, you know, birds don't have sphincters. So they just poop whenever they want, and it's usually liquidy. But so I was like, there's no way that that's what a turkey's poop looks like. But you know what I just did? I just Googled it, and you know, it's kind of close.
I'm gonna say it, this feels like maybe you don't actually have the turkey poop knowledge that I thought that you did.
No, I don't. But also I'm looking at it, and these turkey poops that were in the film looked like Tootsie Rolls. And I will say that the poops that I'm looking at here, a lot of them are partly white, and that's what I was looking for, because usually bird poop looks white, and that's a natural fact, okay? But let me tell you that last night I spoke to my boyfriend about this, because we were watching this movie. He watched about 10 minutes of the movie, and then he was like, I'm going to go upstairs. he was not having it.
Once Adam realized that it wasn't a softcore porn, he was outie.
Yeah, he wasn't watching it first, and I was like, Adam, there's a nipple! And he ran into the room, and then once that was done, he left. I'm painting a beautiful photo, a beautiful picture of him. He's a very nice man. But anyway, he's from Davis, and apparently there's like wild turkeys that roam the streets in Davis and like terrorize the children who live there. They'll like chase you down the street, like on your bike, and like corner you. Like he's had like horror stories. And I was like, so you must know what their shit looks like. And he was like, oh, I'm not sure. I'm like, Adam, come on. If there are turkeys everywhere, their poop must be everywhere. And so he backed me up and he's like, no, I think you're right. It would be more liquidy. And so I thought I was right and I was wrong-ish, but it still should have been a little bit white. And I stand by that. Thank you. That's the end of my rant about turkeys.
Google says the male turkey poops occasionally look like little jays, which is just a fun fact for you.
Ooh,
a little. They've got like a little swoop, a little swooper,
like a little Nike swoop. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Love that. Yeah, honestly, I'm gonna be honest. After this movie, I did have like a very long, horrifying nightmare last night that you guys both have been in. It was weird. I was a boy and I was like enrolling in a magic school. But anyway, at the end of the dream, I was like by a pool by myself and a bald eagle was there. And the bald eagle turned to me and then it turned into a turkey with like the plumage out and then ran at me and then I woke up. So this really got me deep.
Is this the first of the scary movies we've watched that gave you a nightmare? Because that's worth noting.
I feel, you know, I was watching scary movies like every single day, like for the last however long, and I wasn't having any scary movies until like, or scary dreams until like a month ago, and then I've been having scary dreams literally constantly, but this is the only one with like a direct homage to a film. Usually it's just spooky dream. Like the Babadook didn't show up in my dream with his jazz hand, which I would have loved to see. I really wish I could have had that. But I did have a bald eagle turn into a demon turkey, which I feel like is like some sort of commentary on America. Don't you? Mm.
Get out. I don't know. After we watched... I don't know. After we watched this, I made myself a turkey sandwich. I was very hungry.
You know, they do end the film with Kristen eating a turkey leg. And I feel that has some bad implications for the second movie, for the sequel. I feel like eating the leg of a radioactive demonic turkey, not going to go well. Mm-hmm. But fair enough, it did look good.
It did.
Hurt.
Nice.
Her eating.
Oh, sorry. You go.
Her eating the turkey leg really made me upset that I couldn't go to the Ren Fair this year.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's so true. That or like, no, I was going to say, or the Disneyland one, but the Disneyland ones aren't very good. The Ren Fair ones are where it's at. I will say, though, I was horrified by that because as someone who's preparing to cook a turkey for just me and my boyfriend for Thanksgiving this year, there's no way it would be cooked through after being in that bonfire for like 30 seconds. So she could get very sick besides the radioactivity.
Yeah, right. We're not even going to acknowledge that it was sitting in a radioactive garbage can.
You can't have rare turkey. I'm sorry. You can't. I mean, I know that is a rare turkey in and of itself because it's a demonic possessed one, but like you can't have it rare both ways. It doesn't work.
Do we think that there is room for the fires that the turkey... Okay, so according to... Sorry, let me rewind a little. They are trying to figure out how to kill this turkey. Kristen is like, my dad has a lot of books. Maybe one of them is about how to kill this turkey. She's right. They find the book. They have to decode it because it's written in A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
A common code. Thank God Darren, the smart kid, is there.
Yes.
I would have never been able to have cracked that code, so thank God.
Yeah, anyway, so they decode it. They find out that to kill the turkey, they have to read a demonic prayer backwards in unison. Is that the first thing they have to do, or is there something else they have to do first?
Don't they have to, like, tie it up to
a stake
or something?
They have to burn the turkey at the stake like a witch and say a demonic prayer in unison backwards. And
they have to take its talisman off first.
Yes, the talisman gives it immunity. And the talisman is, like you might expect, hidden under its plumage. Mm-hmm. That's where the plumage comes in. But so they get the talisman, they say the prayer. I'll get into the rest of it, but do we think saying the prayer has maybe affected the fires in which the turkey was burned? Like, is that perhaps hellfire, which would burn the turkey at a much higher rate than normal fire, leading the turkey to be cooked through and safe for consumption other than its radioactivity and demonicness?
I would agree with you, but okay, when do they read the demonic prayer? Because I thought they read it at first, but then General Bastard shoots the turkey with a shotgun and it flies into a radioactive trash can. And then they think, oh, we don't need to put him on a bonfire and burn him like a witch because General Bastard, our new best friend, has done the job for us. And so we're not going to listen to this very specific ritual that we did all this work to find out. We're just going to be like, it's fine. So like the fire is after.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess all these things don't really need to be done in conjunction, but the way it works in the film is in the book it says, and I wrote this down, if the turkey is nowhere to be seen, it's likely he's returned to his teepee. And then there's another sentence that says, however, if he's not in the teepee, he's killing one of your friends. But when they finally find the turkey, it is in his teepee. And it's making its own Thanksgiving dinner, presumably. And I have a question about that. And I'm really not trying to get help from sidetrack to sidetrack, but I'm gonna. Because there's a line
we have to
earlier in the film when they're still driving home in Johnny's Jeep. And Kristen is on the phone with her sheriff dad. And from the back, Darren or Billy maybe is like, toss me a beer. And the sheriff dad is like, tossing? That's illegal. I don't know what that means. I had a lot of questions. One of you made a tossing the salad joke, and I was like, haha. And then later when they find the turkey in the teepee, it's tossing a salad. So I was like, oh my God, they were right about tossing the salad. But then nothing comes of that. He's just eating a salad in his teepee, and then they come upon him. Anyway, that's the end of that sidetrack. Back to the first one, which is...
Wait, okay, hold on. That moment, that moment was a very special moment because, one, absolutely bizarre. Two, while he's like doing a terrible job of tossing his salad with his wings, he's like muttering under his breath. He's like, oh yeah, I love a salad at the end of a long day.
It's obvious that it's a turkey, so he's clearly a vegan.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to use animal products.
That's true.
Except for his, he is a murderer, so he does seem to, well, I don't think he actually eats anybody so much as he just uses his beak to slay
them. I was going to say, doesn't he eat Darren's beating heart? But no, he just pulls it from his chest. Mm-hmm. So, you're right.
He doesn't eat his tongue either. He just rips that from his mouth.
Yes, yes, of course. I loved that part.
Anyway, so they find the turkey in the teepee, and they tie him up with some twine, which Johnny just had it in his pocket, because in my heart, I know that Johnny is an Eagle Scout, which means he's always prepared, which is why he's like, oh, I've got a rope right here. Oh, I've got a lighter right here. Like, he's ready. Mm-hmm. But so they tie up the turkey, and that's when they say the demonic prayer backwards in unison, which I also have questions about. And follow me down this sidetrack now really quickly.
Okay, I'm ready.
Which is, okay, so they have to say a demonic prayer backwards in unison. And I guess my question is, was it written backwards in the book so that they just had to read it as it existed on the page? Was it written forward on the book and they were reading it backwards, like from right to left, like Hebrew? Did they practice this beforehand to do it in unison? Like, I guess have questions. I thought for sure there was going to be some trick where it's like they were just reading it off the page, and so they didn't actually read it backwards. But it seemed that they did it just fine, and it worked. So how do we think it appeared within that book written by tracheologists?
I feel like maybe they didn't do it right, because as we find out in the final scene, though they roasted that bad boy good and all the way to the bone, so it wasn't rare, his little turkey corpse was still demonically possessed at the very end. So maybe they didn't do it right after all, and they just roasted him.
Oh, that's an idea. I thought for sure it was just the radioactivity that added a new factor into these things, because obviously the turkey became radioactive after the book by tracheologists was written and published and distributed. Yeah. They certainly couldn't have predicted that, because, okay, let me dial back once more. After they say the demonic prayer, they're ready to kill the turkey, but they have the lighter out, but then the hermit comes in and they shoots the turkey with the shotgun, and they're just like, he looks dead, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then they just leave him there in the blue recycling bin of radioactive waste, mm-hmm. and they move on with their day, and then the turkey comes back, because they didn't kill him as instructed by burning him at the stake like a witch. And you can't just burn him, because Kristen tries that later in the film. He has to be burned at the stake like a witch. Mm-hmm. So there's like a couple different factors here, and they ended up taking all the boxes other than the instructions were burn at the stake like a witch, and then after that it said the demonic prayer backwards in unison. So saying the prayer first, I don't know if that was also an issue. So separate from the two events in time. There are a lot of open-ended questions here, for sure.
I just think that if they were going to be saying a demonic prayer backwards, I would have liked it if, you know, when I think of demonic prayers, I think of, like, something that is, like, unintelligible by human ears. So they should have been saying the words, like, literally spelled backwards for me to really have felt it, but I know that they never would have been able to do that. So I understand why they just said the order of the words backwards, I guess. I don't remember what,
like,
they said,
English
though.
Words. They were like, it seemed like it was some kind of otherworldly language.
Okay, good.
But I also think, just because we have this issue, there's no way that they would have been able to do it in unison. Like, we can't do anything in unison, and we try. So I think
we tried to all whisper Spooky Tuesday at the same time for our opening audio, and it was such a hot mess. It was disgusting sounding. So we're like, Chelsea, you're the spookiest whisperer. You win.
Thank you.
And we're at least a little bit smarter than these fuckers, so they were never going to do it right.
There could have been some off-screen practicing. There could have been, like, the power of the demonic prayer, like, Satan. Okay, actually, this is an interesting question. Because at first I was going to be like, if this is a prayer, maybe, like, God held their hands through this and guided them in unison. But then that would have to mean that God is on the side of the white people who took the land from the Native Americans, which doesn't sit right with me. But then I just remembered it's a demonic prayer. So it's got to be Satan who would be the one holding their hands and guiding them through this. And Satan loves a colonizer, I assume. So that kind of makes sense. Like, maybe Satan was the one that was like, I will help you through this because if we continue to oppress marginalized peoples, that will lead to the destruction of the state. You know what I mean? And that's, like, my greater end goal. I love
that's
to,
all that Satan wants.
Yeah. I love to be evil, and I love to do morally wrong, destructive things, and I am trying to bring about the end of the United States.
I love this, like, look into that beautiful brain of yours, babe. Like, wow. We've gotten to a level I never thought we could get with this film.
I have a lot of discussion questions written down.
Meanwhile, I just look back down at my screen and I'm still staring at turkey poop. So that's where I'm at. But I did see something that said, sex a turkey by its poo. And at first I was like, what the fuck? But then I was like, oh, turkey. Find out what sex the turkey is. So, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. But yeah, wow. Okay, so I can't tell you the side that that Satan is on, but I really believe what you've just said. And I think you've thought it
through.
The case
I've laid out.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. It's pretty
It's definitely compelling.
It's compelling. It's seamless. There aren't very many plot holes, unlike this film where it's just riddled with them.
Okay, actually, this is not a – well, it might be a plot hole. I don't know. But there was one thing in particular that I also have in my discussion questions that I wrote down in my notes, which is a very specific joke that was repeated – twice for sure.
Three
and then,
times.
Yeah, Darren tries to do it himself. Kristen says it twice. Darren tries to do it again later, but he doesn't know how to do it well. He can't pull it off. The joke is that this girl, Allie, is a hoe, one of the main characters, and she's like, I'm not a hoe, I'm a prude. And they're all like, no, you're a hoe. And then Kristen says, and I wrote this down because I was so flabbergasted. She says, your legs are harder to shut than the JonBenet Ramsey case. And nobody acknowledges it.
Which is a great joke.
Incredible.
It is a great joke.
Joke, harmful joke.
Very upsetting
in the face joke.
I like belly laughed, so I guess it worked.
Yeah. But then they repeat it later on because nobody reacted to the joke the first time. And then when they're dropping Allie off at her house for the rest of Thanksgiving break, Kristen once again repeats her joke, but now they show Billy and Johnny and everybody, like, cackling hysterically at it and being like great burn, mind. Kristen. Like, good for you, Kristen. Like, amazing job, Kristen.
You're
My
so
question
funny.
Is, yeah, did she, like, did they mean to only have it in there? I mean, I think they probably did this on purpose now, knowing that they were just trying to make a bad campy film. But, like, did they forget to cut in people's reactions the first time? Did they forget to cut out the joke the first time? Did she repeat it because nobody reacted the first time? And she's like, nobody must have heard me.
She's like, this is a really funny joke. I'm going to keep saying this until you laugh.
Yeah. And then they were like, we'll give you that reaction.
I relate to that. I think it's that. I think it's that they, like, weren't paying attention the first time. Also, maybe the joke went over Allie's head. Because I think they made it the second time when Allie wasn't there. So now they're like laughing at her expense more. But I think that Kristen was like, I made a banger of a joke and nobody said shit. So I'm going to say it again and louder this time, which is something that I have to do constantly. Because though I sound like I'm a shrill, loud bee, sometimes I whisper jokes and no one hears. And I'm like, no, we're doing it again. We're doing it live. And it works and I get the laugh. So relatable, Kristen. Thank you.
Kristen is the representation we all needed in this film, to be honest. Really.
Yeah. It's a very, she's a very incredible character, you know, and she's the final girl, so we have to respect her. Something else I really love in this movie is kind of like the lack of remorse that everyone has. Because like everyone's parents die. Like if their parents are mentioned, their parents die. Like Johnny, okay, the Johnny scene, guys. Sweet God. He comes home, he like talks about how happy he is to see his mom. Like he's so excited to see his mom. He comes home, he sees his mom. He goes into the room to see his dad, and he's like, hey dad. And his dad just like, what does he do? He just is disgusted by Johnny's presence and like stalks away to go smoke a cigar.
Well, he's disgusted by his presence because last season Johnny was QB1 and broke his leg. And so now that his leg is healed, he got demoted to QB2. And his dad is just, how could you be QB2? We raised you to be QB1.
Yep.
So what you're missing, though, is that his dad is like cold and standoffish to him at first, but then the mom is like, no, he's proud of you or whatever. And so Johnny's like, are you proud of me? And then his dad just looks at him, glares at him, farts, and then walks out of the room.
I forgot about the fart. Yeah, no, that's how I react when I'm disappointed as well. So that makes sense.
But I will say...
Leaves him with a gift, too. Something to, like, really make him feel extra bad. It's a brilliant plan.
Johnny follows his dad out, though. And I will say, while Johnny's parents both got by the turkey, Johnny's dad at least, like, died believing that Johnny had fulfilled both Johnny's dream and the dad's dream, which was for him to be back first-string quarterback again for, what is it, the Tritons? What are they called?
The Tritons. Like, you know, like the guy.
Ariel's dad? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like Ariel's dad.
Yeah, so, you know, at least Johnny's dad, like, goes out on a happy note. You know what I mean? True. Like, he died doing what he loved, believing that his son was the number one quarterback for the Tritons. Yeah. He never had to find out the truth.
A bold-faced lie, and then he dies. So
may we all get a comforting lie right before death, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what everybody really wants in life.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So the dad gets his throat just absolutely slashed by a knife, I think, from Mr. Turkey. But the mom.
Yeah, he gets his head completely cut off. Yes. And then the turkey throws the head at Johnny like a football.
Ah, yes. Amazing. Art. Amazing. Love that. Really, there is honestly a shocking amount of football references in this film. And
they say the word audible so many times. And I don't really know what that means.
Oh, I know. Can I say, Sydney? I know you know, and you can correct me because I don't watch football. Yes. But I did watch football this week with my friend Aline and my friend Jesse, who watch football all day, every Sunday, the whole day. The whole day they watch it, every single time. So don't ask them to hang out on Sunday. They're watching football. But this was Monday Night Football. And they explained to me what an audible is. And it's when you're going to do a play and you already have the play all set. And then you're – does the quarterback say it? Tell me that. Who says it? The guy who throws the ball at the beginning of the play. He looks around. And if he realizes that they can't do the pre-planned play, they do an audible. So they audibly yell out a different thing to do. And that's what it is. Please correct me now. Thank you.
That's the quarterback.
Ah, I thought it was the quarterback.
Cool. For you. Look at Monica knows sports now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Did they use the phrase audible correctly in the film? Because they seem to imply that if you call an audible, you'll always get an automatic do-over no matter what.
It's no. Yeah, I thought he used it right one time, but also I was just mostly focusing on the fact that I knew what that word meant and forgot the context immediately.
Let me see, I wrote something down in my notes. Yeah, okay, I wrote down, he's like talking about it with Kristen, and I said, you know, football, where you can always just call an audible when the game isn't going your way. That's not how audibles work, right?
I can kind of see how that what he could be meaning by that. Like, oh, like if it's not going your way, you just call a different play. But also that doesn't really make a lot of sense from my very small understanding.
It's okay, guys. Instead of a horror movie podcast, we are now a football podcast.
Amazing.
I would like
amazing.
To turn in my resignation from the pod if we're going in this direction.
Third and down. Touchdown.
No, Monica, you know the things now. You have to stay.
One thing.
Specific?
Yeah. Wait, no. I don't know. I don't know. Why am I answering questions? What is offside, Sydney?
Is that a football offside, term?
Offside. It is a football term as well.
Yeah. Oh my God, I know so many things.
Damn, Chelsea. It's when I'm really impressed.
Somebody from the line of scrimmage on either sides jumps to the other side before the ball is snapped. And it's a 5-yard penalty that I believe.
Thanks, I played Powder Puff in college.
Wow. That's beautiful. Offensive I don't even know line, that, I don't know what that means.
I would snap the football. And we were partnered, like, this was a sorority Greek life thing, and we were partnered with a fraternity to coach us. And I snapped the football, which is, like, when you're in the – you're on the line and you throw it between your legs to the quarterback. And I bounced it off my butt cheeks, like, more times than I can tell you.
That's the play. That's the play.
It always got a laugh from the fraternity boys. They loved it.
Here's the thing, if they showed football scenes in this movie, that would probably be in there.
No, totally.
And it would be Allie snapping the football, just glancing off a cheek, because she's the sexy one.
Okay. Yeah, she's the skanky one.
All right, well, okay, we got to talk about my favorite character from this movie for a second, because he's not getting enough love, and that's Billy.
Okay.
Because Billy leads to the most beautiful part of this entire film. But before we get to that, you meet Billy by him walking out of his classroom for Thanksgiving break and just ripping his tank top in half out of pure joy that they had Thanksgiving break. And I've never seen anyone feel that excited about going home to see their family. But I'm happy for him. He's a jovial gent.
I just want to say that realistically, there is no way that Billy and Allie were both in college.
None of them were in college. Oh my God, no.
There's no way. I could see Kristen being in college and Johnny on a sports scholarship, but there's just no way that Allie and Billy were in college.
Maybe somebody wrote their essays for them, okay? So, like, it could have happened.
Yeah, they could be rich.
I met a lot of dumb people in college, okay? So anything's possible.
Wasn't Billy the one who had the same last name as the Pilgrim? So clearly he's, like, an old American family. Mm. Maybe.
He's a legacy?
Yeah, or maybe, like, there's some kind of
pilgrim money.
Yeah, that some is there a sons of the American Revolution or just daughters of the American Revolution?
I'm a daughter of the American Revolution.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sydney fun facts.
Get to know me.
Wow. Presumably though, there's some kind of organization for boys, maybe. Maybe he got a scholarship through that.
Yeah.
Okay. But Monica, you said he ripped off his shirt. You've never seen anybody so excited to go home for Thanksgiving to see their parents, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I did say that.
There's another line, and this concerned me. There's another line when they're in the Jeep and he says, I'm just grateful I still got my mama. I guess his dad died. He's like, yeah. I'm just grateful I still got my mama. I'm going to show her a good time this Thanksgiving. Is Billy going to fuck his mom?
He calls her Lil Mama.
Lil Mama. Yeah.
Just, there was something very, we never met Billy's mom, so we don't know the relationship between them. That line, didn't love it. I feel like Billy's gonna fuck his mom.
I don't.
Billy also says that he's thankful for Darren's mom's poon. So
he's clearly got a mom thing going on.
And Allie doesn't know what a poon is.
Well, she's a prude, you guys. Come on.
She's a prude. She doesn't know what a poon is. Well, you know, it's a very educational trip for Allie. She learns a lot. But, okay, I don't think that Billy was going to go home to fuck his little mama, because I think that he only had eyes for his BFF, Darren. Because there is a lot of homoerotic undertones and overtones, I would say, in this film. And I wasn't expecting it, but, like, when we asked the question, could it been gayer? Like, it could have. Always, of course, it could have been gayer, but, like, honestly, not by much. Like, they really went in.
Yeah, the only way it could have been gayer is if we were given a sex scene between Darren and Billy.
I really thought we might get one.
I thought so, too. Because, like, from the get-go, Billy is vouching for Darren, who is, by all accounts, like, an utter dweeb. And, like, we love a dweeb.
And he keeps slurping and wiping his mouth. Just like,
he's a drooly dweeb. Ugh. Like, no. And, like, you would be like, okay, like, he is a nerd, and we want to be nice to nerds. And nerds are fun because they know about fun things. And he did do that. But also, he was a gross perv the whole time, too. And he was drooling on everything. And he told everyone in the car, he's like, I'm going to fuck one of you guys on this trip. Which, like, was exciting. But, you know, he was thinking of Billy. He also said this as he was looking at his own hand. He was like, I'm going to fuck one of you guys. It's not just going to be myself this time. Oh, Darren.
Yeah. I mean, Billy invited Darren at one point, or maybe the Johnny invited Darren at one point to touch his muscle. Invited someone to touch a muscle.
It was Johnny to Darren.
Billy got a new tank top at one point. You know, like, they were so much about how they were best friends. I just thought for sure they were gonna smash. They were both very interested in Allie. But I just think, like, we've got two bisexual kings on our hands here, you guys.
100%.
Which, you do know that we love bisexual men on this podcast.
A big fan. Big proponents of that.
And we get a lot of bisexual women in media. Not a lot, I would say, but disproportionate to bisexual men. They don't always call themselves bisexual. They often do a lot of I don't like labels, which... fine. But we just, like, we don't really see it at all for men. So I'm claiming this one. You know what I mean? Like, this is for us.
This is canon. This isn't one of your fanfic moments. This is true to life. This is very much in the film.
In the text.
Yes, and this is not a fanfic moment, as Monica just called it and corrected herself.
You know what? That was, like, pretty appropriate, though, because, like, a lot of our fanfic moments go in a moaning direction, so...
No, they don't! How dare you!
No, they don't! I mean, like, okay, maybe they can sometimes. It's not... You're not above smut. It's fine. It's all good.
Don't associate my name with smut on this podcast.
I just mean all of us. You're the fanfic queen, but we all have our little dreams, you know? You're just the best at writing by far, far and away.
Anyway, so when Billy dies, there's like a whole montage and like a whole song about how Billy was Darren's best friend. Obviously, there were more. They're like eating ice creams together, gazing into each other's eyes. It is beautiful. It is romantic.
Eating each other ice cream, not just eating it together. Ooh, yeah, that's very beautiful.
Love, baby. And there's even like, okay, there's a line. Remember when you gave me my first ice cream cone under the sunset? That's romance. But then as the song and montage is going on, there's even whispering underneath it that's like, I love you, Billy. Like, there's just... a lot to that. And then later when Darren is dying, Billy's the one that's like is in heaven and is like, come on in, Darren, like, come to heaven. Like, there's no turkeys up here, which I also have a discussion question based on that, which is, do they have their own gay heaven that's just the two of them? Like, is this Darren's specific heaven and it's Billy and no turkeys? Is this heaven in general and turkeys aren't allowed in heaven at all? Are animals not allowed in heaven? Like, is heaven only for the kingdom
There's
of human souls?
There's a separate heaven for angels, Chelsea.
For angels?
She's insinuating that turkeys are angels. Oh, I thought you were serious. I was like, wow, that's beautiful. All animals are little angels.
Okay, well, so there's all a separate that, turkey heaven.
Yeah, we all know that all dogs go to heaven. So, like, I can only imagine that turkeys go somewhere. But turkeys are mean bastards, not even just in this film, like, in reality. As I said, my boyfriend has been attacked by one on multiple occasions. So don't turn your back on a turkey.
Okay, so all turkeys
go to hell. So just remember when you are eating your Thanksgiving turkey, that turkey was sacrificed for Satan.
Hey, I like that.
That's true. That's just true.
Give Satan a little treat to keep him at bay. You know, it's like eating an apple instead of going to the doctor.
Yes. Okay. Also, we've talked about Johnny's parents' death. What is everybody's favorite death scene? Because there's a decent number of deaths. I think Chelsea said 11. Earlier?
Yes, and just to go through them real quick, there's the titty pilgrim in the beginning, there's Flashy the dog, the hitchhiker who picked up the turkey, Johnny's dad, Johnny's mom, Grant, who is the guy who gets a name for 1 second that Allie is fucking when the turkey comes in, kills him, and then fucks Allie. Allie dies. Sheriff, I believe his name is Roud, Sheriff Roud. I don't know that it ever says his name other than Daddy and Sheriff, but it was in the subtitles. Billy, Darren, and then Johnny. And, like, I guess you could kind of say the turkey, but the turkey comes back to life. So, arguably, is that a death? It's questionable. I don't have it in my notes, so.
I think we need to go rewind real quick, and let's talk about the death scene of Allie, because
we have to.
It was my favorite death because, one, what the actual fuck?
Yeah.
But two, so there's a line after it that was my favorite one of the entire movie.
Oh, God.
So Allie, the skank of the group, has been dropped off. And she just meets a rando and decides that she's going to fuck this rando in her parents' house because her parents are cool and they don't care. So mid-bang, the turkey comes in and kills Grant, who I didn't even know had a name, and just decides he's also now going to start fucking Allie, which is rape.
Yep. Uh-huh. It sure is.
No, yeah, no question about that.
So this turkey is raping Allie, and she is like, what is going on? And as he finishes, she looks back, and then he snaps her neck.
Yes. So she gets, like, honestly, arguably the worst and the best death, because it doesn't last that long, but she does get fucked by a turkey. So I don't know. Probably it's worse. I don't know. It's probably worse.
But when the gang is like, oh, we gotta go get Allie, the turkey is here, they're like, Allie's dead, and there's an extra small gravy-flavored condom next to the body. So he used protection.
That's nice, I guess. But he does also say, you just got stuffed after he fucks Allie and comes inside of her. I guess he was wearing the condom. We don't find that out until later.
And I love stuffing. Why? That's my favorite part of Thanksgiving.
I don't know. I just also, this, I know I changed my mind. I don't want to talk about the implications of what getting stuffed means here. I'd like to move on.
Talking about something else.
But that was the most, it was my favorite death, but also the most fucked up death. And there was a lot of other fucked up deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that my favorite is Darren's just because I love me an homage to Indiana Jones when the still beating heart is ripped from Darren's chest. That's very, very reminiscent of when the still beating heart is ripped from that random poor man's chest in the second Indiana Jones, which is the most problematic one. So I thought it was nice that they like connected it to the most problematic Indiana Jones, because this movie is incredibly problematic, and that's just another film history thing that was involved in this.
One more cinematic parallel, very important.
Oh yes, totally. And I also really enjoyed, but did not enjoy, I honestly was like covering my eyes, but I saw part of it through my fingers, when he ripped out Darren's tongue and that it got so stretchy. I liked that it was so stretchy, and as we already discussed, it was really beautiful to see Darren going out to live his best gay life with his lover in heaven. So it had a happy ending, and that was my favorite death for sure.
I guess I would say it's like my favorite death adjacent. Because I don't feel that we really saw much of Sheriff Roud's death when the turkey got him. I wrote in my notes, I tend to try and keep track of how people died as well. I wrote knifed with a question mark because I think it sort of happened off screen or was implied to some degree. But then he cut off the sheriff's face and he wears it as his disguise, and it's now like a tiny turkey-sized face, which is very funny to me. And then also at one point later on, we see the turkey trying to hide the sheriff's body with its like bloody what would have been its face, yeah, but with the skin missing. And so I think I liked that best, the implications of that death rather than the death itself, though. Maybe
I also really enjoyed the lead up to that death, because for some ununderstandable reason the turkey is just like incredibly respectful of the sheriff and sits down for tea with the sheriff for a long period of time, and only kills him when he like says something super fucking annoying for like the fifth time.
He calls him a duck, and the turkey's like, that's it, that's the last straw.
Like, he was gonna let him live. Like, I just don't understand the logic here. There's none, obviously. There's no logic in this entire film, but like, why? The sheriff sucks. Like,
do we think, wait? Okay, let me paint a picture for you here. The turkey and Kristen's dad, the sheriff, are sitting across from the kitchen table at each other. Sheriff presumably has made a fresh pot of coffee, because I hope it still doesn't have the stepmom's shit in it. But he offers a glass of coffee to the turkey. The turkey and him sit down together. They've got some nice chit-chat. The turkey sneezes, explains he has seasonal allergies. He says the word fucking. The dad is like, are you old enough to say that? And the turkey's like, I'm 505 years old, which implies that the turkey was 5 at the time of the first Thanksgiving, I guess. Actually, now I don't know why I thought that.
No, he said he was 510.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Because I just wrote in my notes that he was 5 years old at the first Thanksgiving. Anyway, so they're chatting, but all while this is happening, the turkey is wearing the disguised glasses with the nose and the mustache, and the sheriff is also wearing a costume. He's wearing a turkey costume. Do we think that the turkey thought he was a turkey?
Ooh.
Wow. And he was like recognizes like, and so that's why he had like some modicum of respect for him. Do we think the disguise, the effectiveness of the disguise went both ways here?
They're both.
It was a really good turkey costume.
It was.
So
it was impressive. And I like that, like, he's going to the sheriff's ball with his daughter that night. That's like why he's dressed up.
The annual policeman Thanksgiving ball.
And like, I guess it's black tie. I guess it's black tie because he's wearing the turkey suit. Like, I guess it's really Thanksgiving themed. It's really nice. I love a costume party. So that sounds like a really fun one. I'm sorry he missed it.
And then just shout out to Johnny's death, because Johnny got, you know, murked by a electric turkey carving knife.
Yeah, I liked that. I thought it was like, was it a a well-crafted on-screen moment. No, it was not as beautiful as some of the other deaths where we really got a close-up of Billy's guts for a nice long time. But the detail of the electric carving knife I did like.
It was beautiful. And I also really liked his last, his final words. He said, "I wish I could call a timeout." He's a football star to the bitter end. Poor guy. Beautiful.
Billy is always QB1 in our hearts.
Oh, true, true, true.
Okay. So that is almost the end of the movie when Billy finally, or when Johnny finally gets Scott. And that's when Kristen really steps up to the plate because she punches the turkey. She sets the turkey. She makes her own flamethrower to set the turkey on fire. She somehow yeets the already on fire turkey onto the funeral pyre that is conveniently located nearby. And that's when it like spits out the turkey. Like she picks it up, takes a bite. So, I mean, I thought Kristen was great throughout.
She was a very solid final girl.
Oh, yeah. She's got the jokes and she's got the moves, okay? She's 10 out of 10.
And she got the guy before the guy died. So, you know, good for her. Because she was angling for Johnny this whole film. And then finally they agreed to be boyfriend, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. We love that.
I just want a man to want to date me and be like, "Hi, I know we've killed a radioactive turkey together. Do you want to be my girlfriend?" Nothing. That's exactly how I want to be asked out next time a man is interested in me.
You got to get yourself in some high-risk situations, I guess. You have to revenge the death of your friends, and then you'll find that man. I'm excited for you.
I live in the South, so running across a radioactive turkey is probably higher here than in some other locations.
Fair enough. Points made.
Okay. Who gets the Dumb Bitch Award in this movie? Because there are so many to choose from.
This is the hardest question I've ever been asked. Like, I just feel like they all are. There's no one who's smart, not even Kristen, y'all. She thinks that the turkey wearing her dad's skin on its face is her dad. Like, she's like, no. Who do you choose? Who is the dumbest of all these dumb bitches?
My choice is the sheriff.
Ooh.
For believing this turkey is a small person.
He really thinks he's a little person or a dwarf. He does use the M word. There are a lot of slurs in this movie. They say the R word a lot. They go full hard F for the gay slur, not the word fucking. You can say the word fucking. That's fine with us. Just a lot of problematic language at play.
Okay. Who do I think is the dumbest bitch out of all of them? This is really, like, this is so hard. I think it's Darren, just because he is infuriating to me in all ways. I think that he tried really hard, and he told everyone this story and got everyone all spooked, and then he was mean to Kristen when she believed it and mean to everyone when they believed it. So I was like, how dare you put this in their minds and then shit on them for being scared. Also, I just I can't deal with the slurping. The slurping is something that got to me real quick, and it never let go. And so I know that objectively he's probably the most book smart out of all of them, but he dies the most gruesome way, so he really should have made them finish the job. So I give it to Darren. I'm sorry, I just didn't like him very much.
Yeah, that's actually what I have to nominate Darren for as well. He does get a meat thermometer in his butt, which I liked. But he and Kristen and Johnny all read the turkeyology book, which says that the turkey must be burned at the stake and the prayer read backwards. And yet when Oscar the Hermit shoots the turkey, they're all like, looks dead to me. I guess that's fine. That's plenty. So they're all dumb bitches for that. But in my eyes, Kristen redeemed herself when she punched the turkey. She redeemed herself when she made her own flamethrower. She redeemed herself when she yeeted the turkey onto the pyre. And Johnny redeemed himself when he kept the electric turkey carver in his chest instead of pulling it out, which would have killed him quicker. If you're ever impaled with anything, if you're ever stabbed with anything, you want to do your best to leave it in your body until you go to the hospital where they can remove it properly yep. medically, because it keeps you from bleeding out. So to me, I was like, that's smart that Johnny left it in and just died with it inside of him instead of trying to remove it. So Kristen got bonus points and Johnny got bonus points, and Darren did nothing to redeem his dumb bitch behavior from believing that the shotgun blast was enough to kill the turkey after he decoded this whole sacred knowledge of how to kill the turkey.
I really got to me, it's got to be here Darren. Because there are truly a staggering amount of contenders. So he's just, you can't tell everybody about the freaking Kroberg story and then be the most skeptical one out of the whole group. Like, even his lover, Billy, is like, you know what? The turkey's real because there are turkey poops on me. Like, no.
I mean, I think you can, but the way that he told the story was like, he saw the sign and he was spooked. You know what I mean? Like, he told it as if he was a believer, not as if he was maliciously trying to scare everybody. I know, but then he just was like,
oh, you guys are
everybody.
Taking my story pretty seriously.
No, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you. Is I think if he told the story to scare them and then was like, you guys are scared, you're babies, like, that would be one thing. But instead, he told the story from a place of fear and then was surprised when anybody believed it. Like, if you're going to bring it up because you saw the sign and you're like, oh, no, like, yeah, come on, man.
Follow
At least
it up.
Buy
come
into
on.
Your own
Disappointing.
Belief.
0 out of 10.
Sydney, did we convince you, Sydney?
I don't know, because he did solve the math problem to figure it out, and I could never do it, but I guess I am outvoted 2-1 on this one.
Okay, let me just give you one more point. Not convincing you that Darren is dumb, but convincing you that maybe the sheriff isn't as dumb as he appears, which is that the hitchhiker just let the turkey into the car without any disguise whatsoever. So clearly nobody really questions the
appearance.
Maybe
it's a turkey town, just like Davis, California. They see turkeys all the time, and they're like, oh, this one has glasses. That's nice. And he can speak like the other turkeys in town. Bring him in.
He can drive, you
or
know, like he's
maybe
a very
the hitchhiker
talented turkey.
Is the dumbest of them all for letting a turkey into his car.
Like, it's 2009. Like, is anybody still accepting hitchhikers these days?
Exactly.
That feels like a risky move.
When I see
on
a turkey
own.
On the side of the road, I say, oh, look, there's a turkey. And I keep going. Just like when I see a cow.
Normally, when I see turkeys on the side of the road, they're dead. So. There's a turkey.
Okay, here's one more point maybe. They have the fact that Darren has to decode the math problem to get the sacred turkey knowledge, sure, that's very smart of Darren. But the fact that the turkeyologists are such gatekeepers about sacred turkey knowledge, and then Darren immediately disregards it and is like, this turkey is dead enough, to me, that's Darren betraying his own intelligence. He knows how hard they made him work to get that knowledge, and then he just disregards it.
Disrespect
no, that's dumb bitch
like that. Fuck.
Darren can be, I do respect the turkeyologist, so Darren can be our dumb bitch just on the disrespect of turkeyologist alone.
Yeah, that's what I nominate him for, personally. The fact that he put all this work in to get this information about how to kill the turkey, and then one shotgun blast, and he's like, whatever, I'm ready to move on. Like, that turkey killed your best friend, your potential future lover. I don't know if they had sealed the deal yet. I believe they were going to. But that turkey absolutely destroyed Billy. You held him dying in his arms as we got that whole montage. And then you're not even going to make sure that that turkey is, like, dead in the ground, buried, burned at stake, like, knifed to the heart. Like, you're not going to do absolutely everything you can to make sure that the turkey that killed your lover is dead.
Let his new status as an official cool kid go straight to his head. And he thought, he was like, it's fine. Cool kids are chill and laid back. And so I'm not going to care about this turkeyologist prophecy. I'm just going to be chill about it, like Johnny and Kristen. But I just want to make up a statement. We here at Spooky Tuesday respect turkeyologists and their scientific findings. So that we wanted to go on the record with that.
If you are a turkeyologist, please reach out to us. We're very interested in this incredibly real scientific job. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. What's everybody's...
Okay.
Before we do our knives out of fives.
Before we wrap up, I just have a couple more things, which one of them was they filmed in Ohio because they are in Ohio. The license plate says Ohio, presumably because they are in Ohio, low budget, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But am I supposed to, believe that the first Thanksgiving was in Ohio? That was just a little bit of a sticking point for me. That was another of my discussion questions. Like, are they in Ohio? Yeah. What's going on? And why does the turkey see in purple? That I also wanted to know. There is no explanation for that. Maybe green would have made more sense. Can turkeys only see purple? I was trying to say Monica's name, but I called you turkey.
You know, I accept. I'll respond to that at this point. I read in the trivia that it's supposed to be set in New England, not in Ohio, but it was filmed in Ohio. Because there was one trivia that was like, they didn't do any research because they're walking around in shorts and t-shirts. And if during Thanksgiving time, you wouldn't be able to do that in New England. Am I crazy? I thought I read that.
I don't remember reading that, but I respect that you did. On IMDb, I read that they filmed it over the summer between the creators' junior and senior year of college. So if they're in Ohio in the summer, it makes sense why Billy is able to rip a t-shirt off without being exposed to the elements. You know what I mean? But they also shot it in 11 days, so maybe they're just like, whatever.
I can't believe this beautiful creation was made in 11 days. It seems like it was made in 5. I swear to God, I'm going to find this trivia and I'm going to blow your guys' minds, but please talk about something else in the medium time.
Okay, other trivia, just to stay on the subject, there are no deleted scenes from this movie. They used everything they had. That's beautiful. They did, however, plan to do a more involved opening that would involve both Native Americans and pilgrims instead of just the titty pilgrim running through the woods. But they just didn't have the time or money to do that. Presumably, they didn't have the cast either. Originally, the creators had thought about doing a different holiday slasher called
Eggstravakill.
Eggstravakill for Easter. Eggstravakill for Easter.
I would watch that. But what that makes me – that leads me to believe that, like, an egg is killing everyone, when I would have thought the natural choice was the Easter Bunny. But if they're focusing on eggs, I also would love to see a beautifully painted egg that's evil and kills everyone. That would also be really funny for me.
Maybe the Easter Bunny hatches from an egg. Maybe the Easter Bunny uses eggs as weapons. Mm, maybe the eggs are like that. Little grenades.
This is great. Let's storyboard this.
I've got ideas, but just in case you're wondering, another little fun fact is that the creators who named this movie Thanksgiving, capital K in killing, also had another name for an overseas release because, you know, they don't have Thanksgiving in every country. So in other countries, this was going to be called Death Turkey because they planned just, you know, you never know where things are going to go. And they were like, we want to be ready if this is the kind of movie that gets a cult following all over the world. That's beautiful. That's hopeful.
No, Death Turkey is also an incredibly metal name. I stand Death Turkey.
We should start a band.
Do you know what we didn't talk about? Where Matthew Weller belongs in this movie.
My first thought is I don't want him to be a part of something that is so terrible. But I can think of a place where he could go. I don't want him to stoop to this level, but if times were hard and he needed a quick buck, where would he go?
I think he'd be great as the hermit. That was my thought, too.
I would have loved him to have voiced the turkey.
You just get Matthew Lillard saying,
Yeah, I mean, I already know he's an incredible voiceover actor because he is the official voice of excuse me, of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. So, you know, he's got the chops. He's been doing this for years, and he would be just an obvious choice to voice the turkey when they make a remake of this, which I'm sure they will do. Also, I did find it. It was in the goofs section, and one of their goofs is that they're ill-prepared for the weather of New England, which is apparently where – maybe that's just where they go to school. Who knows? Only the Lord knows. None of this movie makes sense, so it doesn't matter. Okay, I have one more trivia thing that I want to say before we give our knives out of fives. And I found this out earlier today, and I sent, like, first thing in the morning, I read this and sent a very cackly audio note to the girls. But Kevin Stewart is one of the creators of this film. And, like we said earlier, like, not many of these people went on to do much except for Wanda Lust. And apparently General Bastard, but not on film on, Spotify. But Kevin Stewart went on to be the cinematographer or one of them for Unfriended Dark Web.
Love an Unfriended. Absolutely. I haven't watched Dark Web. Smash with an Unfriended. Unfriended slaps. I don't think I've watched, well, I'm not sure if I've watched Dark Web.
I just watched the first one like a week and a half ago, and I watched it on my computer, which is the only way to watch it. I feel really bad for anyone who watched that movie in theaters. Like, what a fucking letdown. But it was truly incredible, so I can only imagine what the dark web aspect will bring to it and the beautiful mind of Kevin Stewart. Oh, stunning. It must be stunning. I will. We'll be watching it very soon. Okay, so is it time for Knives Out of Fives? Like, do we need to rate this mother clucker? I'm so sorry.
Monica, no!
Man, I'd like to say that I've been waiting the whole time to do it, but it really came to my mind at that last second, and I was just like, fuck it, we're going, we're doing it live. Yeah, really setting the stage. How are you feeling? Are you ready to rate it?
I'm unwell.
I liked it, but I also hated it. You know what I mean?
Actually, if any of us actually thought this was like a soundly good movie, I would be deeply worried and would be speaking to your parents. So I'm glad we're all on the same page.
For the record, this movie surprisingly is rated on IMDb and on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 4.2 out of 10 on IMDb. There are unfortunately no critic ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. But it did get a 43% fresh from audiences, which is not very good, but is in line with that 4.2. So we're seeing some real consistency here. Do you guys kind of hold with that same ranking? Where do your Knives Out of Fives fall?
This is hard. Because it is objectively bad, but I am so happy that I watched it. Like, it has made my life better on the whole, I think. As someone who now may be pursuing turkeyology as my career, it's been life-changing. So I'm just going to give it – I can't give it more than a 2, so I'm going to give it, like, a 2.0. 0-1. I don't even know if it deserves a 2, man. Well, I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
I give it a 1 because I did have a good time watching it. So it gets the 1 point, but it's so bad.
Yeah, I think I got to go down lower. I got to give it like a 1 point. I'll give it a 1.1. How about that?
Okay. You know, I didn't really give any thought to my rating ahead of time. I kind of was expecting one of you guys to go much higher just for novelty's sake. And now I'm reconsidering where I fall, which is, you know, there are a lot of really good quotes in this movie. Like, nice tits, bitch. It's Thanksgiving, not titsgiving. I'm thankful that your mom has the juiciest poon in town. Someone says, I'm glad we're all in good health. And someone else immediately says, gay. Someone says, I'm going to drink your blood like cranberry sauce, meanie. That someone was, in fact, the turkey. What else is there that I really liked? Oh, at one point when she's talking to her dad, turkey dad, when the turkey is in disguise as Kristen's dad, Kristen is like, oh, dad, you and your rapidly fading memory. I liked that. I liked when Kristen is like, I'm ready to see this cock burn. And either Johnny or Darren is like, you mean turkey, right? And she's like, no, I mean like a dick, not the animal. I liked that. I liked when Darren is like, well, I sure learned a lot from this experience and I made lifelong friends. At one point they're going to watch a movie and they say, let's rock this movie. And someone else says, I want to watch it. I'm so excited. Like, really? I just thought dialogue impeccable. For that, I would give 3 knives out of 5. I will say, you lose a full point for all the slurs. So that knocks it down to 2 knives out of 5. And then lose a point for needless sexual assault. You know what I mean? It did give us a gravy-flavored extra small condom. Loved that detail. Maybe if it were consensual, you know, they could have kept that point. But I think that will bring it down to 1. For I'm me really as well when it comes to 9 out of 5.
And I love the breakdown of how you rated it. How you got there.
Thank you. I will say I am excited to see Thanksgiving 3. I don't know if we'll get to that before next Thanksgiving. Who knows? If you're wondering if there is a Thanksgiving 2... the movie in the end says to be continued ... in space. I can only presume that Thanksgiving 2 was released exclusively in space and is not for our earthly viewing. Thanksgiving 3 brings it back to our realm.
Sort of like in Xenon the Zequel, where they're just like blasting out, they beam out the vibrations. They just beam it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they did for Thanksgiving 2. We weren't ready for it. Yeah.
It's the only thing that makes sense, you know, like, but so, would I watch another? I sure would. But ultimately, just when you rank it against our other films, you know, it doesn't quite, it's not really on the same level.
Not quite, but very close. I'm just personally really glad that we did this movie. Like I said, it put me on a new path in my life, but also because I feel like it prepares y'all as the listeners for what is to come. And that is when we eventually do Troll 2, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. It is in a similar vein, but maybe I haven't seen it in a few years. I think it's less problematic. Just slightly. But it's got similar energy. It's Troll 2, but there was no Troll 1. And it is about goblins, not trolls. So don't get that confused. So just be prepared. In a few months' time, we'll go down that road. Amazing. And it's going to be beautiful.
And
incredible.
I think this movie was a palate cleanser because last week was arguably the scariest movie we watched in Sinister. And next week, we're diving into the spooky again. with the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is such a good one.
Yeah, I mean, the Titty Pilgrim in the Woods, I think, kind of sets the scene for Blair Witch Project. Yeah, this is like a very similar in energy
to the entire Blair Witch film. So, yeah.
Right? This is just like, hello, a little palate cleanser, a little treat, a little tease before the Blair Witch.
Yeah, and we didn't want to give you something too scary because, like we said at the beginning, you are going home to see your families this week. And that might be, or if you are, be careful with COVID, y'all. Because that can be scary enough as it is. So you don't need true horror on top of that. So, you know, you're welcome for giving you a little reprieve. Okay, so thanks for listening this week and going on this wild turkey ride with us. If you like what you heard, you can check us out, our other episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and now iHeartRadio. Woo! Very excited. And you gotta see the beautiful social media presence that is curated by our girl Chelsea Duff here. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @spooky_Tuesday and on Facebook at Spooky Tuesday Pod. Thanks for listening.
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamra Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at Captain Tamra. And our podcast art is by Mary Murphy, who you can find on Instagram at @the_moon_omg.
Gobble, gobble, motherfucker. Now that's what I call foul play.